Well, today at the White House, President Biden presents 17 Americans with the country's highest civilian honor, the Presidential Medal of Freedom, awarded to individuals who've made exemplary contributions to American life and culture. On this list of honorees, gymnast Simone Biles, soccer star Megan Rapinoe, gun safety activist and former Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, actor Denzel Washington, the late Senator John McCain, and others, including educator Dr. Julieta Garcia. She's now a professor at the University of Texas, Rio Grande Valley, was former and first female president of the University of Texas at Brownsville, where she grew up, and the first Latina to head any American university. Dr. Garcia, congratulations.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
And what do you think? You know, you get a phone call or however you find out, oh, you're getting a Medal of Freedom honor.
I had been warned that I should accept a call from a 202 area code. And I thought, well, that's nice. And I was hoping it would be, please serve on an advisory committee on fill in the blank, hopefully immigration, the tough, tough issues. So I was in the garden and I missed the call once and twice. And finally, the third time I responded, and there was a very excited young lady on the other side of the phone, and she's saying, the president wanted to tell you personally, and he's tried to call you twice. And I'm thinking, this is a joke. The president has been trying to call you. And she said, but he had to go overseas. Well, yeah, to the G7 summit. Anyway, she said, so I'm calling you because he would like to let you know that you've been selected by him to receive the Medal of Freedom.
Well, talk about what that means. And a little bit of your backstory. Mexican-American, born in Brownsville, Texas. Your father's family fled the Mexican Revolution. On your mother's side, you're fifth generation. I'm sure you're thinking of them today. Talk a little about their challenges, their sacrifices.
Their story is our story because my father and his family started a new life here in the United States and so came over with nothing. They had to leave everything behind. They were very lucky to get out with their lives. But he did very well. He started school in Mexico, did well in school in the United States. But because he graduated from high school during the Depression, he never could go away to college. My mother had gone to high school, and she had done well. She was salutatorian, which is unheard of many years ago. And yet, she didn't go to college for the same reason. So there was this hunger. And they said their children were all going to go to school. So that was the backdrop to our becoming who we became, my brothers and I. It was understood from the day we were born that we were going to go to college. Dad and mother had a savings account. Dad would put in $10 a month for each one of us. We didn't know what college was, but we knew it must be really important.
I think that was raised at one point to $20. And
It was.
Yeah, you talk about this in a great TEDx talk. We'll link people to it at hearandnow.org. But, you know, there were times when, you know, you all lived very modestly. And as a little girl, your mom passed at 40 from cancer. Mm-hmm. But you're a little girl, the only girl in the family. Can we have another bathroom, please? Can't we break into that account? No. What would your father say to you and your brothers when you said this?
Ese dinero no se toca. That money won't be touched unless you use it to go to college.
Yeah. Even when your brothers threatened to, I'm leaving home and I want my part of the college savings. He says, no, you leave home, you don't get it. Your brother stayed.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, my father said, I never got to go, so I'll use yours. And I'll go back to college.
Back.
Of course, my brother stayed home and went to college.
Well, you know, obviously this is just in your DNA, how important education is. And you've been passing this on to other students. I just want to ask about the other aspect of your parents. I mean, you tell about your mom, even though her family owned a store in Brownsville.
Yes.
She had to live on the other side of the tracks in the segregated Mexican community, who could only swim in the pool one day a year, and then after the Mexicans were in the pool, it was closed down and cleaned.
Mm-hmm. That was in Harlingen, actually.
Yeah.
And it was just crazy how that could have happened because, you know, how you read about they lived on the other side of the railroad tracks. They literally did. On one side of the railroad tracks, the streets are all named after the presidents of the United States. On the other side of the railroad tracks where my mother grew up, they had letters, A Street, B Street, C Street, as if they couldn't read on the other side of the railroad tracks. But my grandfather he owned the first mercantile store in downtown Harlingen and was one of the signers of the charter of Harlingen, and yet still had to live on the wrong side of the tracks. They lived on B Street. Mm. And then the kids were going to a school that was not well equipped, didn't have the desks, didn't have textbooks and good, you know, teachers that were educated. So there's lots of stories in the family, but one is of my grandfather taking my mother's brothers and sisters to the school and demanding that they put them in the Anglo school, mm, where they had better books and desks and teachers.
You know, again, education. You are a huge, you know, backer of education. But I'm wondering now, even speaking to you, Dr. Garcia, I'm willing to bet that there are many Americans who, especially of late, are only hearing from Mexicans or Mexican-Americans as they cross a border, as they struggle with English as a second language. That's the image that we see. We're hearing you. We're hearing your education. We're hearing your parents, you know, through you, pushing for that education.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, how important is that, that all Americans hear your voice and hear this possibility that your one brother is a scientist or a computer expert or something, and one became a doctor, mm-hmm, and, you know, that it was, mm-hmm, all about education?
I have never met a gardener or a maintenance worker that didn't understand that his children or her children would be better off with an education. They know what life is without an education. And so when I would talk to some of our gardeners on campus and ask for them or say something like, you know, it's so hot out here, I'm so sorry you're having to do this, and they'd look at me like, I have a job, and my daughter's in college, or my daughter's working on a master's, or my son's going to law school. And they all started out in the valley at our school. So you don't have to convince poor people who have never had an education how relevant, how important and vital it is for their livelihood.
Well, and I'm just struck by how many waves of immigration there have been, you know, historically, Italian, Polish, in which it was thought that people could not achieve. And then that wave educates the second wave, and suddenly that question is gone.
It's gone in my family alone. And I mean my father's, my mother's family, all of their children, all of my cousins, all of them did well. I mean, there's not a non-professional one in the bunch. And when we would convene, you know, for a wedding or a funeral, my father would say, give me something to brag about. And it wasn't, you know, what kind of car you drove or what kind of house you had. It was, how have you been doing in school? So we would have to sit there and conjure up something to tell Dad, because everybody understood how tough life had been without an education. And their kids were not going to go through that.
Well, Dr. Julieta Garcia, I know your dad passed a day before you became the youngest and first Latino president of the University of Texas, Brownsville. But you sure have given him something to brag about now.
Well, thank you. He guided us. Imagine having to raise three kids as a single parent.
Well, you are now one of 17 Americans receiving the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Congratulations again.
Thank you so much. And thank you for focusing on the important stories that you do.